Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Masechta Erevin. We start today the new Masechta. We're in Daf Beis. Always get a jump start when you have to start on page 2. Makes you feel like you're into it already. We are beginning now what is 10 Parakim of Masechta Erevin. It's really a continuation of Shabbos. Sorry. Shabbos talked about Hilchos Shabbos, all the laws regarding violation of Shabbos. As I mentioned, Shabbos probably the most discussed topic in Shabbos is the Malach of Hotzah. I'm saying page for page, word for word. I think Hotzah gets most of the, not most, but of all the Malachas, Hotzah is discussed the most in Masechta Shabbos. And if you didn't have enough of Hotzah in Shabbos, so you're going to get more of it in Erevin as well. Erevin is a takeoff now on the Malach of Hotzah and deals with carrying from one Rishus to another Rishus on Shabbos. Just as a brief introduction. The introduction can go on, and I don't want to do that because I do want to get through the daf today. So, but just as a brief introduction. We talk about Erevin. We're really talking about Erevin in one of three different contexts. Two of them are discussed in our Masechta, and one of them will not be discussed until we get to Beitza, which we'll talk about in the second parak of Beitza, if I remember correctly. Erevin comes, first of all, in the form of Eruvei Chatzeres. Eruvei Chatzeres means we're going to take a Chatzer and we're going to combine everyone together. Okay, let me draw out. It's not that complicated. The normal schematic of how it used to be once upon a time is that you would have a house, you had to have another house, let's even make four houses, okay, in one common area, and then all in one common area. This common area we'll call a chatzer. Okay, so we have four houses in a chatzer. It doesn't have to be four, it could be three, it could be two. Okay, and obviously in every chatzer, okay, no? Okay, there, yes. So there's going to be obviously entrances and exits to go in and out. Now, anytime there's an entrance or an exit, as long as it doesn't exceed 10 amos, which is what we're going to be learning today, so that's just simply a doorway. In other words, that doesn't negate the fact that there's a wall over here. If I erased over here and made an entrance over here, same story. In other words, it's still a wall with just an entrance and an exit. So this is one chatzer. Now, what we could do is we could stack chatzer next to chatzer. We'll put another chatzer over here. And you can put houses over here. A chatzer, by very definition, we're going to see this at one point during the Masechta, a chatzer needs minimally two houses. If a chatzer doesn't have two houses, it doesn't really get the status or the label of a chatzer. Okay. And then what would happen is that the chatzer would then spill over into a mavoi. We use the term alleyway to describe a mavoi. Not the best term to use, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. And an alleyway also was an enclosed area. So I gave it a wall over here, wall over here, wall over here. On the other side of the mavui, there may be even another chatzer. And if I would so choose, we'll put even another chatzer over here, just to give you a general idea of how things were once upon a time. Okay, and obviously now we would have an opening into the mavui, and we'd have another opening into the mavui, and give ourselves another opening into the mavui, and that is a construct. That's the general construct of how things were laid out. Now, what would then happen is that once you're into the mavui now becomes even a more common area. Meaning chatzer is already a common area, but as you could see traffic now flowing, you can already see how people are going to be moving from the chatzer into the mavui. Now, once we're in the mavui, we're only one step removed from being in the street. The street, generally speaking, the mavui would spill onto the street, lets you move, have the street go in this direction, and we'll call this now the Rishus HaRab. As we're going to see over the course of the Masechta, in other words, the chatzer itself is Rishus Yachid, okay, with various houses inside of it. The mavui also is a Rishus Yachid, because what does a mavui have? One wall, two wall, three walls. So the mavui itself is also a Rishus Yachid. And obviously over here is a Rishus HaRabim. To carry from the mavui to Rishus HaRabim, that would be Nisa Daraisa. That would be the Malacha of Hotzah. To carry from a chatzer, let's do it this way. To carry from a house to a chatzer, min haTorah, that's fine. All I did is just carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. To carry from the chatzer to this house also would be fine, min haTorah, because I'm carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. Let's go even here. Let's say there's an entrance from one chatzer to another. To carry something from one chatzer to another chatzer, min haTorah, also fine. I'm carrying from one Rishus HaYachid to another. So you get the basic idea that if all we had was just the Din HaTorah, I'd be allowed to carry from a house to the Chatzar, from the Chatzar to another Chatzar, from the Chatzar to a Mavui. The only thing I cannot do in HaTorah is to carry from the Mavoi into the Rishos Rabbim. Instep the Chachamim. Now this is an old Gzeira Derabbanan. The Gemara later on will point out that it goes back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech instituted two institutions, one of them being Matilas Yadayim, and the other one being this. And by design, the Chachamim determined that any time that you end up with a common area, so mid Derabbanan, you cannot carry from the Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid. Another Rishos Yachid either owned by another person or owned jointly by other people. And the only way that I can carry from one Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid that are not owned by the same people is to make an Eruv. And an Eruv means to combine them together. Now, combining them together, it's not hard, it's not complicated. How do we bind? So, you know how the solution to any Jewish problem? It's going to be food. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a food, and everyone's going to contribute food, put it into a basket, take the basket, put it in somebody's house, and so therefore in this chatzer where we have four house homeowners, so every homeowner is going to contribute food into a basket. The four foods that were contributed are going to be put into somebody's house, one of the people living in the chatzer, and now we made an Eruv. We'll make a bracha, because it's a mitzvah derabbanan to do so, and we have now created for ourselves a Eruv. Eruv Chatzeris now allows me to carry from my house to this Chatzer, from this Chatzer to somebody else's house. Eruv unifies. What if I want to make an Eruv Chatzeris with this one and this one? Not a problem.
Combine
them. In other words, as long as there's an entrance from here to here, so then you can make an Eruv from here and here. What if I wanted to make an Eruv for everybody? In other words, him, and the Mavui included as well. Also not a problem. That would be fine. Because again, all I'm doing is taking various Rishos HaYachid and unifying them together. Okay, good. That is that's step one of our introduction. Step two of the introduction is the following. As I pointed out, this Mavu is Rishos HaYachid, and so therefore there would be no problem carrying in the Mavu itself. Here's one concern that the Chachamim had regarding a Mavu. It is one step removed from the Rishos HaRabim. And furthermore, the Mavu itself is a high traffic area because this chatzah spills out, they're all spilling out to the mavui, so it almost begins to look like a Rishos HaRabim. Now it's not, halachically speaking, because there are three walls around it, but it begins to look like a Rishos HaRabim. So therefore, the Chachamim said like this, you carry in the mavui itself, the mavui needs a tikkun. It needs some sort of correction. And that correction can come in one of two forms. Either a lechi, which is going to be, now we're having a bird's eye view, obviously, so it's going to be hard to draw it, but I'm going to put a pole right here. Okay? Or I'll put a pole on this side. And according to some opinions, I need two poles, which is not how we follow. Or we could put a korah over the top. And that is just a simple beam right over the top of the entrance. And that would allow me to carry in the mavui. Now again, the mavui is Rishos HaYachid. And Minotaur you can carry in the Mavui, but what the Chachamim wanted us to do is have a clear understanding and demarcation of where the Mavui ends and where the Rishos HaRabim begins. You remember a couple times in Masechta Shabbos, we mentioned that you shouldn't be sitting right at the edge over here of the Mavui, right? In fact, we just recently did it in Masechta Shabbos, for fear that, in other words, you may just, something will fall out right into the Rishos HaRabim and you're going to bring it back and you'd be violating this is the rights of carrying from the Rishos HaRabim into Rishos HaYachid. Okay. That is Eruv Chatzeris.
What if there's an open alley? They're showing that in this book. There's a Mavui is open. Then is that
Yachid? Not for now. It's a fair question. Just I want to really condense this introduction. So let me let's get some certain facts on the ground and then we'll take it from there. Okay, that's Eruv Chatzeros, and that was just a brief, very brief introduction. The other form of Eruv is Eruv Tchum. Eruv Tchum is that we're circumscribed on Shabbos within a 2,000 Amma circumference, although, as we'll learn later on, not necessarily circumference. It could be that it's rectangular, and it's, well, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, we're circumscribed on Shabbos. We're limited to where we can walk. And Eruv Tchum allows me to extend the Tchum so that I can walk an additional 2,000 Amos. Okay, we're not there. We're not going to be discussing that for some time. That comes up later in the Masechta. So that's another form of Eruv. There's a third Eruv, which is called Eruv Tafshilin, but that doesn't come up in Masechta Eruvin. That will come up in one daf. So as if I knew the whole Masechta. One daf is going to discuss Erev Tavshilin. Okay, let's say one daf. Anyway, but that's not really our topic here in Erevin. It's going to be when we get to Masechta Beit, so we talk about Erev Tavshilin. Okay. So far, so good. So those are our... that's the general overview of the Masechta. Our first perek, which we're starting obviously right now, is going to be dedicated to Eruv Chatzeros, and more specifically, it's going to deal with the Mavui and the Tikkun of the Mavui. So as we have on the board over there, there's a Mavui. Okay, there are two terms that describes a Mavui: Mavui Sasa, Mavui Mefulash. Mavui Sasa, a closed Mavui. Don't get confused by this terminology. That's what I just drew on the board. Mavui Sasa means three walls. Mavui Mefulash means that wall in the back over there doesn't exist, and there's actually another Rishos HaRabim running along the other side. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking right now about a Mavui Sasa. So far, so good. And what we're going to be discussing over our first daf today in Erevin is one simple topic, and that is the following. Now that I have a Mavui Sasa, I have a closed Mavui, and I want to make that demarcation that shows me where the Mavui ends and where the Rishos HaRabim begins, and I could do it one of two ways. I could lay down a Korah over the top of the Mavui, or I could put a Lechi on the two sides. Today we're going to just be speaking just about Korah, and that's it. And the question is a very simple question. How high does it have to be off the ground? What we're going to be learning in tomorrow's daf, not in today's daf, is why do I have to lay the Korah out to begin with? Okay, one explanation of the Gemara tomorrow is going to be that it's because of Hecker. People need to see it, so it has to be within a certain height. Otherwise, if it's too high, people are not going to see it. But that's tomorrow's daf. Meanwhile, we start with our Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah doesn't even use the word Korah, which perhaps is the most confusing part about the first Mishnah of Erevin. It just simply says Mavui, as if we know what we're talking about. But okay, now we have an idea of what we're talking about. We're talking not about the entirety of the Mavui, we're speaking specifically about the Korah. The Mishnah begins, Mavui shu gavol lamala mi'asrim amma. If the Mavui is higher than 20 amas, yimat. So the Mishnah gives excellent advice. If it's too high, lower it. Okay, excellent. So 20 amas, by the way, is approximately 40 feet. An amma is somewhere between 2 feet to a foot and a half. So I just assume 2 feet only because mathematically it's less challenging. Okay, so now I can say 40 feet instead of having to say 30 feet. My life becomes easier. So 40 feet high, by the way. That's extraordinarily high. That's four stories high. For those of you who remember what it used to be like living with buildings. So so if it's higher than 20 amas, so then lower it, yimad, Rav Yehuda, amen, if sarich, and the Rav Yehuda's position in the Mishnah is, no, not necessary, meaning it could be as high as you want it to be. The harach, me'asar amas, yimad. Now, what if it's wider than 10 amas, so narrow it down. V'im yesh l'tzuras ha-pesach, now if it has the tzuras ha-pesach, alfa pishu harach, me'asar amas, in sarich l'mai. If it's wider than 10 amas, but as Tzuras HaPesach just simply means two side posts and a lentil going over the top of two side posts. If it has Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's greater than 10 amas, so you're fine. You know, no need to narrow the width of the entrance.
They'll reduce it.
Yep, good observation. Excellent observation. Okay, stay tuned. Okay, so what we have in our Mishnah now is height dimension and width dimension of the entrance to the Mavui. As far as the height dimension is concerned, we have a machlokas of the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakhama says that it cannot be over 20 amas, and if it is, you just simply lower it, and Rav Yehuda says, no, it could be over 20 amas. How high can it be? That's probably going to be part of today's discussion, so we're going to see that in just a moment. In terms of the width of the entrance of the Mavui, so if it's greater than 10 amas, so you got to decrease the width. Now, decreasing the width, meaning if we take a look at our structure over there, what does that mean? To narrow the entire alleyway? No, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means simply that the opening of the Mavui just simply create partitions on either side so that now the entrance becomes less than 10 amos. Okay, and once there's a source of Pesach, so that means two side posts and the lentil going over the top, so then the source of Pesach can be greater, the entrance can be greater than 10 amas. Okay, obviously much to discuss over here. Let us take a look at the Gemara Tanan Hasam, and we look at the first Mishnah in Sukkah. Okay? The first daf of Erevin and the first daf of Sukkah are almost like mirror images of one another. When we get to Sukkah, all this is going to sound familiar because it is nearly identical. The first discussion. Stanan Hasan, we learned over there in the Mishnah. Sukkah Shi Gavola Mala Me'asu Mama. If you're Sukkah, and we talk about Sukkah over here, we're talking about the Schach of the Sukkah, obviously. If the schach is higher than 20 amos psula, so then the Mishnah, the sukkah is no good. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's fine, not a problem. So, almost identical, meaning obviously with the noted difference that here we're talking about the korah of your mavui, and there we're talking about the schach of a sukkah, two different mitzvos, obviously, but in terms of concept, same basic idea, that according to the Tanakhama, can't be higher than 20 amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, not a problem if it's higher than 20 amos. And so far, so good. What's the problem? The problem is our Mishnah is gentle, and the Mishnah in Sukkah is not gentle. Mm-hmm. Our Mishnah says, you know what, if it's higher than 20 amos, you know what you do? You lower it. Okay. The Mishnah in Sukkah says, you know, if it's higher than 20 amos, you know what? It's no good. Okay. It's the same point. It's the same exact point. It just happens to be that the Mishnah here is much more gentle. Just simply correct it. It's not a big deal. The Mishnah in Sukkah, you know, if you lower the Sukkah, the Schach, the Sukkah is going to become good. So, why doesn't the Mishnah make the same exact point? So, Maishla Gabi Sukkah, Dini Psula, Vigabi Mavu, Tini Takanta. So, we're going to have two approaches to why the difference in genteelness of the two Mishnayos. Sukkah de Araisa Tini Psula, Mavu de Rabbanan, Tini Takanta. Okay, so approach number one is like this. Sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so therefore the Mishnah over there is stern and says it's pasul. Whereas opposed to mavui, which is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, as we discussed in the beginning of this morning, so therefore because it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, so therefore more genteel. Just simply lower it.
If it's d'oraisa, how could Rabbi Yehuda disagree with it?
Okay, that's an excellent question. But before we get to that, let me ask even a more basic question. And that is, and so what? Meaning, okay, I understand Sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mavui is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And therefore what? Why should that be a difference? Why should that make the difference? And how in terms of how you want to present the information? When all is said and done, in both cases, you could just simply lower it, and that'll be wonderful. So why? I understand the difference, but how does the difference make any difference? So let's first
take around. The device is more formal. They should have given a solution.
Okay. So let's take a look. Very good. So let's take a look first at Rashi, where Rashi obviously is bothered by this. Rashi suggests the following. Rashi says, Tani Pesula Hoel. I'm reading Rashi. It's like the third Rashi in the Gemara. It's halfway down the Amud. Holukvar miyamos Moshe nitna midazu uvach chachamim mafarish lecha sheim loasa kein psula shaych lemisne b'loshem psula. So Rashi explains like this. You see, when it comes to Sukkah, we've had this mitzvah for a long time. In other words, it goes all the way back to Moshe. Right? Moshe ascended Har Sinai. He came down. He gave us the Torah. It's always good to go over the basics. So and so we've had this mitzvah for a long time. So when the Mishnah is coming along and the Mishnah is now informing us, like what's the Mishnah telling us? Something we already know. So as if the Mishnah is saying, come on, we know this already. The Sukkah is higher than 20 amos, no good. The Afa gav de mahanya be takanta, and of course it would help, explains Rashi, if we lower it, but kol kama de la masakin la ikra psula. But let's call it what it is. It's now, from the time of the writing of the Mishnah, we're now over 1,200 years after Moshe got the Torah from Sinai, so we're a millennia together with Torah, so you know what it is. It's puzzle. However, Mavui, Rashi goes on to explain, D'chol ikreha d'rabbanan hu, it is fundamentally a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So, lo shaykh l'memer ba'lashem psula, sharei kan hischila l'harascha, iske mavui v'sarasav. It's like it's the first time I'm teaching this to you. Now, let's be honest. We're learning a Mishnah that was written circa 200 of the Common Era. The mitzvah of Mavui and Erevin and Chatzeros been around for a while. In other words, if it goes back to Shlomo HaMelech, so it's been around for a solid 800 years. Okay. So, I know what Rashi's driving at over here, but just historically, it's not really like the first time learning it. But the point being, though, is that it's a later innovation. It's a later institution. So v'sarasav umay pasul shayach lemeimar akati lo hodiach rabbanin shireh bahachi delisne im lo asakim pasul. But it's not fair for the Mishnah to say, well, gentlemen, if you made it higher than 20 amos, that's no good. Meaning, we're hearing it now, ki'ilu, for the first time, that's why our Mishnah is more genteel, that's how Rashi understands the difference between Daraisa versus Darabanan. Okay. Tosos is not excited about that explanation. You take a look at the second Tosos on the Amud, so Tosos gives, he quotes Rashi, he challenges Rashi. I'm going to go directly to the center of Tosos, second Tosos, where he gives his own explanation of why there's a difference between something being Daraisa versus something being Darabanan. So, Balasham Psula Kach Nir Lefaresh, right? It's about a third of the way down in Tosfos. Tosfos says, Sukkah Daraisa Tini Psula Delashon Yimat Mashma Chumra Ba'alma. If I would have said, if the Mishnah Sukkah would have said Yimat, it sounds like, it's better. Better to lower it. But Bid Yeved, it would be okay. Va'asa Lemite V'lomer D'davka L'chatchila. And I would have thought, had the Mishnah Sukkah said Yimat, that's a better way to do it. But if you leave it as it is, it's okay. So what the Mishnah Sukkah, because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, does not want to give the impression is that, well, l'chatchila you should lower it, but b'di'evet it's okay. Psula tells me no, meaning it is simply not good. You have to lower it. But when it comes to Mavui, so you don't need to worry. Now, it's interesting. What does that mean, you don't need to worry? Meaning, what if I left it above 20 amos? Is Tosa suggesting that Bidyevit it would be okay? I can't imagine. Right? I don't think so. But because it's... I don't want to misspeak. But because it's only a mitzvah derabanan, so therefore we're not as worried if somebody walks away with a misimpression, you know, that it's okay if you leave it above 20 amos. Right, but that's how Tosfos understands it. But again, basic difference between Rashi versus Tosfos, why should it make a difference between it being a mitzvah d'oraisa versus it being a mitzvah d'rabbanan? In the meantime, however, that's answer number one. So again, let's just quickly refresh. I have a Mishnah here in first Mishnah Erevin. My Mavui, my Korah is higher than 20 Amos. Lower it. The Mishnah in Sukkah, the Schach is higher than 20 Amos. That's no good. What's the difference? Answer number one of the Gemara. The Sukkah mitzvah is a mitzvah d'araisa. The Mavui mitzvah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Okay. Answer number two, Ibai Seima. Even if it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, the Mishnah would love to teach us a tikkun, how to correct, how to fix. Ela sukkah d'nefishimile pasuk v'tani psula mavui d'lo nefishimilein t'ni takanta. Just look at the Mishnayos. Meaning, when you look at that first Mishnah in Sukkah, there are a lot of halachas mentioned over there in that first Mishnah in Sukkah. Height of the Sukkah, amount of schach, number of walls.
Detail.
So there's so many details in that Mishnah Sukkah that if the Mishnah over there would try to tell you now correction, so it would be corrected this way. Oh, that's the problem. Corrected that way, and then the Mishnah becomes too long, and we don't want Mishnahs to be too long. So therefore, the simple one word answer to all the problems is psula, meaning no good. However, in our first Mishnah here in Erevin, where there's only one real issue being discussed, which is, what if the Korah is too high? So then, with one word, instead of saying Pasul, we could just simply say Yimat, so we still have that conservation of words, but now just simply a correction, instead of just simply saying it's no good. Okay, that's the other suggestion of the Gemara. Adkan, we are now finished with the mirror image of Masechta Sukkah, Masechta Erevin. When we get to Sukkah, you'll see the exact same discussion. Good. We'll have excellent review in about half a year from now. Okay. We have three big Masechtas ahead of us. We have Erevin, we have Pesachim, and then we have Shkalim, and then we get to Sukkah. I think that's the one after. Anyway, I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Okay. And now we're back in our Mishnah, and here's what we know. If the Korah is over 20 Amos, the Tanakhama says that's no good, and Rav Yehuda says no, that's fine. Where's all this coming from? Where are they arguing about this height of the Korah? What is their model? What is their prototype? So we're going to be spending a daf today going over one approach, the approach of Rav, and it will be the remainder of today's daf, and that they learn it, meaning the Tanaim of our Mishnah, learn it from the entrance to the Mikdash. What will be interesting is that by the end of today's daf, the Gemara is not going to be in love with this first approach, but it's an approach, and it's valid, and it's Torah, so every moment we spend trying to understand this approach is going to be valuable, invaluable. The first approach is presented us by Rav, and here's what you need to know in order to go forward in today's daf. Okay? I have my trusty picture of the Beis HaMikdash behind me, and this is the second Beis HaMikdash, but this is it's the one we're going to be working with. This is the Azara, right? The salmon-colored area is the Azara. And this, obviously, is all open area. You know, we look from the top. It's hard to get a good visual. But this entire area is an open area. And this is the actual edifice itself. This is the actual Beis HaMikdash. Okay, outside over here is the Mizbeach. And when we're walking into the Beis HaMikdash, so we're going to be walking through two entrances, right? And then in most houses, you have like some sort of foyer. So they have this area over here. It's called the Ulam, the antechamber. And then what you do is you walk from the Ulam into the actual Heichal itself. Okay. When you walk from the outside into the antechamber, into the Ulam, you have a huge entrance. The only entrance in the Beis HaMikdash that was 20 amas wide, 40 amas high. Okay, that's a huge entrance. Such an entrance, 40 amas high, approximately 80 feet. I mean, you're looking at basically an 8-story high entrance into the antechamber. And then when you get through that and you're in the Ulam and now you want to go into the Heichal, so you're going to be meeting an entrance which is half. Half in height, half in width. 20 amas high, 10 amas wide, the standard entrance of all the other entrances in the Beis HaMikdash. So far, so good. And now, what the Gemara is going to explain, according to Rav, is that the two positions of the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda are really reflecting which entrance of the Beis HaMikdash are we looking at? Are we looking at the Ulam, or are we looking at the entrance to the actual Heichal? I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. We'll see this now inside. We're in the Gemara. Chachamim lo lamdu ela mipischa shel Heichal. Rav Yehuda lo lamdu ela mipischa shel Ulam. So according to the Tanakama, it's all derived from the entrance of the Heichal. And for Rav Yehuda, it's the Ulam. Now we have a Mishnah. Pischa shel Heichal gavoa esrim ama v'rachva esra amos v'shel Ulam gavoa arbaim ama v'rachva esrim amos. Good. Mishnah in Midos. It hasn't been that long ago that we went through this Mishnah together. And the Mishnah basically lays out the dimensions of the entrances. Ulam, 20 by 40, 20 wide, 40 high. And entrance to the Heichal, half. 10 wide, 20 high. Ushnei mikra echad darshu. Now, both of them are starting with the same pasuk, this week's parsha. Okay, look at that. We start a week with Masechet Erevin. We start a week with this week's parsha. V'shachtu pesach Ohel Moed. And we shecht it at the entrance of Ohel Moed. Whereas according to the Chachamim, the Heichal has one level of Kedusha, and the Ulam has a different level of Kedusha, and we would guess, probably correctly, a lower level of Kedusha. Meaning, as you're entering, so you're getting higher and higher in Kedusha. And when the Torah instructs us to shecht the Karban in front of the entrance of the Ohel Moed, what it means is the entrance of the Heichal, which has greater Kedusha. Rabbi Yehuda Savra Heichal V'Ulam Kedusha Achasi. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, that the Kedusha of the Ulam is the exact same Kedusha as the Heichal. Meaning that when you're going into the Ulam, it has Kedusha's Heichal. And same. And so when it says that you have to shech the karban by the entrance of the Heichal, it means Ulam as well. So that is one explanation, and that would therefore mean that according to Rav Yehuda, we're looking at the entrance of the Ulam, whereas according to the Tanakama, we're looking at the entrance of the Heichal. And we know the measurements of both, it's just a question of which entrance we're referring to. That's going to be 1A. Meaning, all this is within Rav Yehuda Merav. It's just a question of which entrance we're looking at. Or the Gemara says, if you would like to argue and say that Rav Yehuda also divides the Kedushas of the Ulam and the Heichal. The Pasuk says, the entrance of the Ulam Habayis. Now, as Tosis points out, there is no such Pasuk. The Gemara over here kind of blended together various psukim to arrive at this conclusion. You can take a look at Tosfos, where he tries to do a little bit of detective work, exactly how the Gemara formulated this pasuk. Either way, the point being, how should dechsiv el pesach ulam habayis? It could be that it's talking about the bias, not from the perspective of the outside, but rather from the perspective of the inside, meaning the entrance to the Eichel, not the entrance to the Ulam.
If Rabbi Yehuda goes by the Ulam, why didn't the Mishnah they state that his maximum should be 40?
Perfect. Like, Gemara is going to ask your question. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right on task. Now, v'haki ksiv hai b'mishkan ksiv. Okay, now, here's a small problem. So far, so good. We have now presented to us two opinions in our Mishnah. One explanation of the Gemara, Rav Yudah Merav. It's just a question of which entrance of the Beis HaMikdash we're talking about. Entrance to the Heichal, which is 10 by 20, or entrance to the Ulam, which is 20 by 40. Good. And when I say good, by the way, there are going to be problems, which Ben already raised one of the problems. But right now, let's just say good. Here's a small problem, and that is we're now looking at the Beis HaMikdash, when meanwhile all these psukim that we're quoting, I mean all of them, I mean Vishachtu, right? The pasuk in this week's parsha that we're quoting is referring to the Mishkan. You don't have the double entrance into the Mishkan. So v'haki ksiv hai bim Mishkan ksiv, it's stated regarding the Mishkan. So how can we take a pasuk that's referring to the Mishkan, which is a temporary Beis HaMikdash, the one that's used only in the 40 years of the desert, and oh, by the way, the 369 years in Shiloh, but in other words, but that's the temporary Beis HaMikdash, and we're now talking about the actual Beis HaMikdash, the one in Yerushalayim. So Ashkecha Mishkach, Mishkan de'ikre Mikdash, or Mikdash de'ikre Mishkan. So the Gemara to that says, no, it's not a problem because they're interchangeable. The Mishkan is sometimes referred as the Beis HaMikdash. The Mikdash is referred to sometimes as the Mishkan. The Ilo Temach, Yehadam Rav Yudah Mishmo Shlamim Sheshach, Them Kodim Psichas Delas Zayichal, Psulim, because there is a halacha which states that Shlamim, when the Shecht in the Beis HaMikdash, the doors of the Beis HaMikdash of the Heichal need to be opened. They cannot be closed. And how do I know that? Shenamar, it says, again, this week's Parsha. V'shachtu pesach ol moed, b'zman she'psuchim v'lo b'zman she'in ulin. It has to be open, it can't be closed. V'haki ksiv, ayi b'mishkan ksiv. Now, how is that working? We're learning a halacha for the Beis HaMikdash, and we're learning from the Mishkan? And the answer is going to be, yeah, not a problem. Ela ashkecha mikdash deikre mishkan, or mishkan deikre mikdash. Because the terms mishkan and mikdash are interchangeable. And so therefore, whatever halach is true regarding the mishkan is going to be true during for the Beis HaMikdash as well. Bishlam and mikdash deikre mishkan dechsev nasat yish mishkan ibisuchem. So I certainly see where the mikdash is referred to as a mishkan because the Torah says, I will put my mishkan in your midst. Ela mishkan deikre mikdash minalam. But where do we see that the mishkan is referred to as mikdash? So ilam and mikdashiv. So perhaps it's from Parshas Naso. Benasu akatim nose hamikdash vehekimo es hamishkan ad boam. It says that what did they travel with? They traveled the nose hamikdash. They were carriers of the mikdash. So the Gemara says, oh, but Aaron ksiv. Yeah, but Mikdash over there just simply means Aaron because that's what Kahad actually carried. They carry the actual Aaron. So Ela mehacha v'asu l'mikdash v'shechad v'socham. So the Gemara says it comes from the following pasuk, which we're all familiar with. Parshas Truma, beginning of the Parsha. And you're going to make for me a Mikdash and I will dwell amongst them. And obviously over there, Mikdash is referred to as Mishkan. Okay. Mishkan over there is referred to as Mikdash. Okay, the point being is that they are totally interchangeable. Okay, so far so good, but here's now going to be our problems, and the problems, as Ben already pointed out, are going to be pretty self-evident. The Gemara is going to spell them out. We have now our first approach to how to understand our Mishkan. Our Mishnah. Okay. Yeah, it's early. It's really early. So the Tanakhama says that your korah cannot be higher than 20 amas. Rav Yehuda says it can be higher than 20 amas, and our first approach, which is today's approach, is that they're both learning it from the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Are we looking at the entrance of the Ulam, or are we looking at the entrance of the actual Heichal itself? Okay. Gemara says, here's the problems. Second line down, Beis Amud Beis. Bein le Rabbanan, Bein le Rabbi Yehuda, Lilfa mi Pesach Shar Hechatzer. Do you know that not only was there an entrance into the actual Beit HaMikdash, but there was curtains laid around the courtyard? And we are going to see in just a moment that the width of this entrance to the curtains was 20 amas wide. Orech hachatzer mea ba'ama v'rochav chamishim ba'chamishim. I should have told you over the last 3 weeks in shul to pay careful attention, because now you need to know the entire construction of the Mishkan. But in the meantime, however, it's pretty straightforward. It's 100 amas long. It's 50 amas wide. V'kama chamesh amos, and the curtains went up 5 amos. Uksiv v'chamesh esrei ama klaim l'katef. Uksiv v'lakatef hashiniz mizeh umizeh l'shar chatzer klaim chamesh esrei ama. So mala halen chamesh berochav esrim. Afkan chamesh berochav esrim. So here's the problem. So it comes out now that we know the width of the chaser is 50 amas. We also know that at the corner, it's 100 length, it's 50 width. And then the Torah goes on to describe these two end points over here. This is 15, this is 15. So let me draw a little more. So if these two are 15, so that means that this entrance over here is going to be 20. So the Gemara is just curious. If all this is coming out of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan, so why not 20 amos be your magic number in terms of the width? Okay, so now it comes out that it's a twofold issue. Number one, the width now turns into not 10, but rather 20. Number two, what was the height of the curtains? Height of the curtains was 5 amas high. So why doesn't that become our standard? So the Gemara gives a couple of explanations. Number one, Pesach Shara Chatzer Ikre, Pesach Stamalo Ikre. Well, anytime the Torah talks about that entrance, it doesn't just simply say Pesach. It says Pesach Shar HaChatzer, the entrance to the courtyard. So it could be that that is a very specific type of entrance, and we're looking for global definition of Pesach. That's approach number one. Approach number two, Yibai Sema Kiksiv Kalaim Chamesh Esrei Ama LeKatev BeGovahu DeChsiv. Or what we could argue, it's not the simple pshat, but what we could argue is that when it says 15 amas, we assume 15 amas refers to the width of these curtains. Maybe 15 amas refers to the height of these curtains, meaning that generally speaking, the curtains running around are 5 amas high, but then when you're talking about the entrance, the curtains over there are 15 amas high. Dechsiv govahu v'haksiv v'koma chamesh amos. The Gemara says that's a very difficult pshat. The Torah says that the curtains were 5 amas high, so how can you now suggest that the curtains at the eastern entrance were 15 amas high? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how you can suggest that. Ha'o misfas mizbeach v'lamala. In other words, from the mizbeach and onward, it went up 15 amas high. Why? Tznius. Meaning, so that when the Kohen's doing the avod and he's standing on top of the mizbeach, so nobody would see him. Rav Yehuda mipitzchosh, I'm sorry. Okay, so that deals with problem number one. Why don't we learn out from the entrance to the courtyard? And solutions are either it's the entrance to a courtyard, that's a specific entrance, or solution number two is that perhaps we don't understand properly what the actual height and width of the curtains were. Maybe 15 is not talking about the width, but 15 is actually talking about the height. Number two, Rabbi Yehuda mipitzcho she'ulam gamar v'ha tenan v'aracha me'asra amas yimat v'lo palag Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now Ben, we're going to get to your point, which is the following. What comes out over here is the following, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're learning from the entrance of the Ulam. Entrance of the Ulam was 40 amas high, 20 amas wide. Our Mishnah says that, yes, Rav Yehuda argues on the height, but there's nowhere in our Mishnah where it says that Rav Yehuda argues on the width. Sounds like he agrees. But if the source of his halacha is from the entrance of the Ulam, he should be disagreeing about the width as well. Amar Abaye, Palag Bebraisa Detanya. So Abaye says, yep, he argues also on the width as well. We learned in the Bryce of Arach Miyud Amaz Yimat, Rav Yehuda Amar Einu Tzarich Lamayet. Good. The Bryce tells us that he argues in terms of the width. V'lifnog b'masnisin. So why doesn't he argue in our Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, "Palik begova v'wadin l'rachva idas." It's just, it's implied. Implied argument of our Mishnah. Here's another problem. What is the maximum height of for Rabbi Yehuda? So in this Braisa, it says 40 or 50 amas high is fine. The Tani bar Kapar has his own Braisa, ad mea. 100 amas would be fine. Now the Gemara says, you know, Bishlam le bar kapara guzma. Now for bar kapara standpoint, you know, 100 amas actually is even a, that's not even a problem. Because when he says 100 amas, he just simply means, oh, it could be really high. and he throws out the number 100, but that's guzma. That's just an exaggeration. But Allah the Rav Yehuda, my guzma, but according to the first brisa where it's 40 or 50 amas high, what's the exaggeration by 50 amas? Meaning, it sounds like he's okay with 50 amas. If the source of this halacha comes from the entrance of the ulam, shouldn't be 50 amas. L'Rav Yehuda arbaim gamar bipischo she'ulam, ela nun minale. So 40, I understand, because that comes from the entrance of the ulam. But what about 50? Am Rav Chista hamasisan atiase l'Rav. So the Gemara says, you know, this is now Rav Chista, who, by the way, was a student of Rav. So Rav Chista says, you know, let me be honest. Rav was a little bit misled on this whole issue, and what misled Rav was our very Mishnah, because the Rav Ditanya, because we learned the Brisa Mavu Shu Gavoa Michaf Ama. I'm sorry, it's not our Mishnah. Let me just reset this again. It's not our Mishnah which misled Rav. It's the following Brisa which misled Rav. We learned the Brisa Mavu Shu Gavoa Michaf Ama Yoster Mi Pischo Shalheichal Yimat. In the Braisa, it actually says, if your Korah is higher than 20 Amos, higher than what? The entrance to the Heichal, so then you have to lower it. Hu savar midraban mipischo sheheichal gamrei. That what the Chachamim were doing over there was actually learning it from the entrance to the Heichal. And Rav Yehuda mipischo sheulam gamar, which therefore led us to the conclusion that Rav Yehuda must get it from the entrance to the Heichal. V'loi, but that's not true. Rav Yehuda mipischo de malchin gamar. Rav Yehuda, his source is not the entrance of the ulam, it's just the entrance of palaces. Meaning, from Rav Yehuda's standpoint, it just simply means that, you know, when you walk into a palace, you know, sometimes the entrances of these palaces are really high, and well, I'll get to why in just a moment, but they're really high. So it just simply means that it's not a big deal if the entrance to your mavui has a korah on it that's above 20 amas high, because we have entrances that are yeah. And it's interesting. I was thinking that as well. That remember back in the Shabbos we talked about how all of us are kings and all of us live in palaces and okay, but the Gemara here doesn't take us down that approach. Kehechal. So now, according to the Chachamim, so basically what we've done is we've scratched. Meaning, what we suggested is that the whole machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim and our Mishnah, at least according to Rav, is based on entrances. Entrances into the Heichal, that's the Chachamim. Entrances into the Ulam, that's Rav Yehuda. The Gemara scratches Rav Yehuda. Meaning, Rav Yehuda has nothing to do with the entrance to the Ulam. If it did, we would have to cap it at 40. We know that according to Rav Yehuda, it could be higher than 40. So no, it just happens to be that that's the entrance to the palaces. But what about the Chachamim? Can we still say that the Chachamim learn it from the entrance of the Heichal? So the Gemara says, I don't know. Because, you know, the entrance of the Heichal had a doorway. Sorry. Had a door. So why not simply say that if you want to fix your mavui, a korah is not going to be enough. You actually need a door. Allah mitzanam. But meanwhile, we learned in the Mishnah, Hechsher mavui beisham armim lechi bekorah beisol armim lechi o korah. So all you need is either that vertical pole on the side or the horizontal beam over the top, and that's it. You don't need doors. Why not? Answers the Gemara. You know, the doors in the Heichal, they are only for purposes of tznius. They don't actually define the entrance. They were just there for privacy. So the Gemara wonders, if all this is true, so, in our Mishnah, what do we learn? That once you have a Tzuras HaPesach, it can be as wide as you want. Meaning that the width of 10 Amos only becomes a cap only when there is no Tzuras HaPesach. But if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, which is two sides, and a lentil going over the top, it can be as wide as you want. If all these halachas are being generated by the entrance of the Heichal, well, let's think about this. The entrance of the Heichal. Did it have a Tzuras HaPesach? Yes, absolutely. It had two sides and had a lentil going over the top. And meanwhile, it was only 10 amas wide. It cannot exceed more than 10 amas. So why would a Tzuras HaPesach allow my mavui to be wider than 10 amas? Asks the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Midu hutayim ala larav, hamasi le'rav Yehuda l'chia barav, kameh derav, eno tzarech lema'et. So the Gemara says, well, look, right now, all we're doing right now is trying to explain the position of Rav. That was today's daf. Today's daf was Rav. So, meanwhile, a Braisa was taught in front of Rav, and the Braisa says that if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, and it's wider than 10 Amos, Eino Tzarech Lamayid. The Amr lay, and Rav is hearing the Braisa, and what's his response? Asnei Tzarech Lamayid. No, that's not correct. That don't teach the Braisa that way. If it has a Tzuras HaPesach and it's wider than 10 Amos, so you got to decrease, you got to narrow it down to 10 Amos, because Rav is consistent in that, at least according to the Chachamim, all these halachas are derived by the entrance of the Heichal, and therefore even with a Tzuras HaPesach, it cannot exceed more than 10 Amos. Quick recap of today. We started today learning about the Mavui Sasum, and the way to be misakin so that I can carry within a Mavui Sasum. And right now we're specifically talking about the Korah. And in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, how high the Korah can be. According to the Tanakam, not more than 20, and according to Rav Yehuda, it can be more than 20. Where do they derive it from? So today's daf, we're learning the position of Rav, which is that they derive it from the entrance of the Heichal. The Gemara has many issues with this approach of Rav, notably that according to Rav Yehuda, it could be as high as you want. If it comes from the entrance of the Ulam, it could only be more. It can't be more than 40 Amos. So the Gemara seems to abandon ship in terms of Rav Yehuda learning it from the entrance of the Ulam. Could be that it's just from the entrance of the palace. But meanwhile, at least according to the Chachamim, according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, he learns it, according to Rav, from the entrance of the Heichal, which is 10 Amos wide, 20 Amos high. The Gemara just simply wonders if that's true according to Rav, with a Tzuras HaPesach, it should not be able to exceed 10 Amos. The answer is the Gemara very simply, according to Rav, you're right, it cannot exceed 10 Amos even with a Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, this is day one of Erevin. Please come again. We are continuing tomorrow with this discussion of the Korah. And we'll get to a more svara in terms of why it is that a Korah actually works.